This is Windows Observer Launch Control. We are just seconds away from the start of the Observe Tech podcast. Stand by for final sequencing and launch. In 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And we have launch of the Observe Tech podcast. Keeping an eye on Windows and other things tech, here is your host, Richard Hay of WindowsObserver.com.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 49 of the Observe Tech Podcast. I'm your host, Rich Hay from WindowsObserver.com. Good to be with you on this Sunday morning, the 22nd of April. Like I said, episode 49 coming at you. We got a lot of different stuff to talk about. Want to remind everybody we are a part of the Tech Podcast Network. So if you visit techpodcast.com, not only will you find past shows from the Observe Tech Podcast, but you'll find around 150 other audio and video-based tech shows that bring you all kinds of information, a wide breadth of kind of subjects, so you can go in there and find your favorites and plenty of ways to either listen to them online or subscribe to them in iTunes or Zune or just subscribe to the RSS feeds of the show so you can get the downloads to your computer. So we're proud to be a part of that network, techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's there. All right, I want to start off talking a little bit about some stuff that happened this past week. I hope everybody was watching Tuesday when a really tremendous sight was occurring both down here in Florida and up in Washington, D.C., and that was the fact that the Space Shuttle Discovery, the oldest orbiter in the fleet, made her way from Kennedy Space Center on the back of the shuttle carrier aircraft, which was a modified Boeing 747, used to ferry the shuttles back and forth when they might have to land on the West Coast. And Discovery was taken up to Washington, D.C., where she did a huge fly around. I mean, I think she must have circled around downtown Metro D.C. three or four times, it seemed, maybe an hour long before she landed at Dulles to ultimately be delivered to the National Air and Space Museum at the, I think it's called the Udvar-Hazy Pavilion or hangar there at just near Dulles Airport, Dulles International Airport, for permanent display. And to continue her new mission, which is to help educate our future about the history of the space shuttle program. She served for over 27 years. So it was a pretty impressive sight. I went down myself to Cocoa Beach and got up early on the Tuesday morning and watched Discovery's flyby of the Space Coast before she headed north to Washington, D.C., and it was a spectacular sight. I mean, it really was awesome to be able to see that. It's a huge airplane anyway, the 747, and when you put the shuttle on top of it, it is just an extremely unique sight. So I hope everybody got a chance to see that and to check that kind of that out and be a part of that history. The other thing I wanted to mention relating to space is this coming weekend, SpaceX is scheduled to launch the first commercial cargo carrier to the International Space Station. That launch is scheduled for Monday at 12:22. NASA is hosting a two-day NASA social, what used to be called NASA Tweet Up, that starts on Sunday and culminates on Monday with the launch. And I got bumped up off the wait list for that yesterday. So I will be attending and tweeting out pictures and stuff. We're supposed to get a tour of the of Launch Complex 40, which is the SpaceX launch site. We're supposed to get briefs from folks associated with the program and I'm sure tours and things like that. So I'm looking forward to that experience, and hopefully the launch will take off on time. If it doesn't launch on Monday, apparently the delay will push it like 5 days to the 3rd of May. News on the Nokia Lumia front. We've talked a lot about the new Windows phones from Nokia. And they've had a busy couple weeks, a rough couple weeks. They, you know, found out about the data problem, had a patch out for that within just a few days. Sales have been going good, apparently. A lot of reports of the phone being sold out both online and in the store. Some of that probably due to them pulling back stock that needed to be updated with the data bug fix. But Nokia also reports from Nokia saying they're building them as fast as they can. The white phone is out today, starting today, but as we found out over the last couple of days, the white one was available in some stores. Had at least one Twitter guy I know who made the switch from iPhone to his own Nokia Lumia 900, bought his wife the white one yesterday. did a couple pictures on the Nokia North America president's Chris Webber's Twitter account showing people buying the white one on Friday. So some stores were pulling it early. Some stores weren't. Some stores told one other person I know on Twitter that, yeah, we got it in the back, but we can't sell it till tomorrow. The big plus of that was that as long as the purchase was made before yesterday, the individual would get the $100 credit on their AT&T bill due to the data bug, which Nokia offered a couple weeks ago. So not a bad deal overall. Today, the official release of the white Nokia Lumia phone, and of course, there's a rumor out there that around Mother's Day, we're going to see something in the range of fuchsia, purple, pink, whatever the colors are that you want to call it. So very interesting to see that. Also saw a note on Chris Webber, the president of Nokia North America, who said Canadian customers would be getting the data fix this week. Now, he said that late Thursday or Friday, so I'm assuming that means sometime in the next 5 to 7 days. So the Canadian folks who are also getting the $100 credit will be getting their data fix for their phone. And then the last thing I want to talk about before I dive into the new subjects and the stories I've pulled is to mention the Windows Observer 2.0 app that we brought online. I can't remember when it officially went online, but I can say I just checked the stats this morning, and we have crossed the 1,000 download barrier with that. So with the 2.0 version, we had previously downloaded about 1,100 copies of the initial version that came out last March. Which I know isn't huge numbers, but for a small website like mine, I'm very pleased with that. So we're now well over 2,200 downloads total of the app and 1,000 of the 2.0 version, which is the most recent one developed by the guys from NeuralNet down in Orlando. So it's very nice to see that, and I appreciate everybody supporting the app like that. So let's talk a little bit about the news stuff that's going on this past week. Excuse me. So, start off with, they recently, Microsoft released the Service Pack 2 update for Microsoft Office for the Mac 2011. So, that was pushed out, but unfortunately, they've discovered a bit of an issue that's been reported specifically to do with the Outlook database, the way it stores messages and things like that. So, as of right now, Microsoft has pulled the automatic distribution of that update. They haven't pulled the update itself. They have provided a workaround that people can use to alleviate the issue over the Outlook database format issue, but people can still voluntarily or manually go download this update, but it will not get posted in the automatic process for now, not until they get that figured out. Windows 8 developers, there's a lot of stuff going on this past week. We've shared a lot of links on our tweeted link stuff on Twitter about upcoming workshops, developer previews, and the opportunity to go learn from some real savvy folks about how to make Windows 8 Metro apps. So there's you got to keep an eye on that. There's now, more recently this past week, stories about how to get your own invitation to submit apps to the Windows Store. They did announce on the Building Windows 8 blog this week that they are adding something like there will be 38 markets available on the next preview updates, which we expect to be what will be called the release preview, or would normally be a release candidate for Windows 8. And the word is it will be open to 38 different markets, so they're really expanding the availability. So if you are a developer and you want to develop for Windows 8, check out the link to this story that I've got for you, and it will tell you how to get your invitation in order to submit an app to the Windows 8 store. And they are looking for information. They want you to create an account. They want you to profile your application, and then they want to have your app reviewed by a field engineer. So there aren't just wide open submissions going on, but there's a method in place for you to be able to get an idea for an app or your app that you may be developing to get it okayed to go into the next version of the Windows Store. They did recently post that there won't be any new apps going into the Windows Store on the consumer preview, it looks like, because they are gearing towards that new update that's coming soon. So haven't heard anything specific about when we'll see the release candidate or the release preview, if that's what they're going to call it. But that is expected to come soon. And it would have to in order to get in the timeline of release to manufacturing later this late summer, early fall, so that things are ready for the holiday sales season. Cloud storage been a big story this past week. Rumors came out that Google Drive is on its way back, that sometime this coming week they're going to release Google Drive with 5 gigabytes of free storage and all kinds of options and things like that. and that will be a direct competitor to Dropbox. And, of course, SkyDrive. SkyDrive gives you 25 gigabytes of storage. So, and as we've seen on the Build in Windows 8 blog, SkyDrive is coming out with a program that will integrate SkyDrive into your OS, so you'll be able to access it in a much easier manner than just via the web. But Sony came out and announced they're going to have cloud storage service coming up, and it's going to be called Play Memories Online, and it will launch for the PlayStation 3, the PSP, and the PS Vita. It'll be $15 for about 4 gigs of memory on the Vita. So they go into depth about what is available and how it's going to work. So if you are a PlayStation person and you're interested in that, we'll put a link to the story. We already mentioned a little bit ago about the white Nokia Lumia. WP Central was able to confirm that the phone is not shipping with the data bug update. So one of the first things you need to do if you buy the white Lumia is to get it plugged up to your Zune software and let it install the data bug fix so that that is running properly. Another supporter for the Microsoft in the smartphone war is Verizon. Verizon came out and very publicly got behind Microsoft this past week and said that their chief financial officer made a suggestion that they are wanting to help the Windows Phone become more of a contender in the smartphone market. So, you know, Verizon does carry the Windows Phone. I think their selection is very limited, but they really do want to get behind that as a third ecosystem, as a third kind of player in this. So you got iPhone, Android, and then Windows Phone, of course. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that and how far that continues to go. The story we talked about last week about Macs and infections, not long after the whole flashback news came out, several reports of other malware and virus-type programs that were exposed on the Mac. Apparently Apple did release an update to close that door with the flashback virus malware, but there was others being reported as well. And now the reports are coming out that, you know, the numbers may have been very low that was initially reported, and that there's still something like 650,000 Macs that are infected with flashback. And this was a story from Symantec. They reported it back on this past Wednesday. So, you know, there's still a lot of folks infected with this, and people, one, don't know they got it. Two, I think Apple is farming out that update, but people have to apply it, obviously. So I hope people are taking care of their computer system so that that thing does not continue to cause issues for folks. Themes, Windows 7 themes. The lady who does all the theme work for Microsoft on the personalization gallery came out with a huge post this past week that talked about several new themes that are coming out. A couple of them we've already mentioned on the site, but we'll go through these real quick. One is the saplings theme, and that is for Earth Day or Arbor Day, and it's just pictures of young trees. It's a nice collection. Then you have the forest theme, which shows the saplings a little more mature, you know, bigger plants and things like that, which is another very nice collection. They also published several of those as desktop wallpapers because, as you know, Windows 7 theme pack has to have Windows 7 to work. Will also work on Windows 8, but you can't, you know, you have to get the wallpapers. So they do make some of those available to you if you're interested in just grabbing some of the wallpapers. Another two that they have put together from their open call, which is a continuing thing. They are constantly looking for input from photographers and amateurs of photography you've taken, and if it's of good enough quality, they will accept it and apply it to one of their themes. Whether it be a collection that they do or one of the dynamic themes. So if you're interested in that and you are an amateur photographer or even a professional photographer, it's not for pay, but you certainly get your name out there and you get credit on the photo that goes on people's desktops as well. But two new open call-based themes, and that is the Garden Seasons one, which shows plants in different stages of life. And then Light and Dark, which is a unique collection of very vintage and moody type photography. And then Recursions, which is fractal-based images by a guy named Ricky Kendall. So those three new themes are there. And then they just launched two new dynamic themes, which we also talked about a week and a half ago. One's called Terra and Flora, which we already had. And, of course, Insects. So we've already been updating those three dynamic themes over the last several weeks. But the two new ones is called Aqua, which will be pictures of water in various states, whether it be clouds, rain, water droplets, the ocean, lakes, rivers, whatever. And then fauna being animals and things of that nature, including a really gross-looking green snake in the initial set. I'm not a big fan of snakes, even pictures of snakes. But so you have that. And then they also brought out two new Bing themes, Best of Bing China 2 and Best of Bing Australia 3. So if you are a fan of these types of themes that they put up on the personalization gallery, you really ought to go check this out, because they've just released a ton of new things, as well as the new dynamic images, which get updates every week. So it's a great way to kind of keep your desktop refreshed and working. Now, all of these Windows 7 themes will work on Windows 8. The only thing it won't take advantage of is the automatic wallpaper thing. But the thing is when you install them, you may be able to make that an option and then save it as your own theme, as a Windows 8 theme that takes advantage of the automatic coloring aspect of that. So lots of new themes that are out now for your Windows systems. Xbox Live this past week released a follow-up to Trials HD, which is kind of a real physics-based motorcycle game, obstacles and jumps and things like that. Well, this past week, Trials Evolution came out, and this is from a game developer called Red Lynx. And they apparently broke the one-day record for the highest-grossing one-day sales in Xbox Live Arcade history. Now, they don't give numbers. They don't say how many sales. They don't say how much. But it was by far the best day ever. Major Nelson tweeted about it and wrote about it. And he just recently posted an interview with the developers of this game. So if you're interested in hearing a little bit about their background and what their thought processes were, you can check out that. But Xbox Live Arcade is becoming a more and more popular means of publishing games. And Trials Evolution, you can try a demo of it that lets you really get a feel for it. It sells for 1,200 Microsoft points after that point, which is like $19, I think, $19.99. But it is a fun game to play. For those of you on WordPress, you know last week we mentioned that 48 out of the top 100 blogs on the web are built on WordPress. Well, this past week, WordPress released a maintenance and security update, version 3.3.2, and it deals with several security-related issues with core elements of the WordPress structure as it is, upload things and doing flash content on WordPress sites, a couple cross-scripting vulnerabilities. And they address those things. Now, they are working on version 3.4. 3.4 Beta 3, I think, also came out this past week, which is not a public release, but you're able to go download it and try it on a development system if you want. And they really do encourage developers of plugins to try out the betas to make sure it doesn't break things in their plugins, so they can be up to date and release updates to fix those issues if there are any. So that security update you definitely want to download. And keep your eye out for 3.4 coming out soon. Our friend Ed Bott over at ZDNet has recently posted a how-to. He wanted to run Windows 8 on his new Ultrabook, but he didn't want to mess with this Windows 7 installation. So he talked about booting Windows 8 from a virtual hard drive. And he goes into details about how to do that. So if you are running Windows 7 and you don't have a spare hard drive, or you don't want to dual boot off the same drive, check out Ed's post over at ZDNet about how to do a dual boot from a virtual hard drive. I've done it myself on my own system. It works extremely well. It's a great way to test an operating system without, it's a file, not a whole directories and everything installed on a hard drive. So it really does make it compact and easier to test out a system without having to give over full hardware and everything like that. Although it does use all your hardware, basically the virtual hard drive is as if it was a disk. It's just virtual. So that is very handy to have if you want to test that way. How about Microsoft's quarterly report? They just posted their revenues and came up 6%, which was well above expectations. Analysis apparently was reporting that they were going to be down 3 or 4% overall, but they actually rose 4% overall. And the Windows division saw an update, saw an increase. The Bing division losses shrank down, so that means they were making money and less of a loss. Servers and tool division, which is kind of its backbone, rose 14%. The business division, which is where Office and all that kind of stuff, was up 9%. There was a drop with Xbox. Now, Xbox continues to dominate U.S. sales. Over last year, it was the number one selling console worldwide, and it has saw a drop-off. Not sure why that was. They don't say specifically. I know there's a press conference scheduled out at E3 in Los Angeles in June, although the reports from the quarterly financial reports say don't expect that to be an announcement of a new Xbox, but they are going to talk about Xbox and things like that. So it was very interesting to see them do well. And their stock rose that day, I think 4 or 5% by the end of the day was its overall gain. So it was good to see Microsoft come out with some good numbers for this last quarter and to see that they aren't flagging. They're not dead. You know, a lot of people have written Microsoft off with this whole Windows 8 thing and the Metro and the desktop and et cetera. You know, you never know. They really did have a great quarter, and it was a definite positive to see that. So as a Microsoft fan, I'm happy to see those kind of things. How about this story about Google and Gmail now offering analytics for your email inbox? You know, I've read a little bit about this, and I'm not sure I would be a fan of Google having access to data and analytics about my email habits. Not a big fan of that at all. And apparently this app, the Gmail meter, they call it, wasn't created by Google, but supports things that was created by Google Apps. So this isn't built by Google, but it can be used with your Gmail to tell you stats about your Gmail. I'm just not sure I'm a real fan of somebody having that kind of information about my email habits. I use Gmail. I'm a member of a couple mailing lists through it, and I do put it to use that way, but I don't do the majority of my email actions on Gmail itself. It's just a backup. All right. Nokia Lumia 900 sales have been really good. We talked about that earlier in the show. I want to bring, there's a lot of people now that are new Windows Phone users that are just experiencing the system for the first time, and I wanted to bring all of your attention to a great feature that Microsoft has put out there to get your feedback, to get your input, to get your recommendations for new features, or how to tweak something the system does right now. And they have got a place where you can go and you can contribute to that process. They're using user voice for it. And it is called the feature suggestion for Windows Phone. And it's a great, you can go there. There's voting features so that others that browse these recommendations and things like that can click on them and vote for the ones they like and are in favor of. Or you can add your own. It covers such a broad range of different areas of the phone. The number one top thing right now, hot idea, is Adobe Flash for Windows Phone. Of course, Apollo Windows Phone 8, you may have heard this past week that some guy in Italy, an evangelist for Microsoft in Italy for the Windows Phone division, made a comment and said that all Windows Phone devices that are out there right now will be compatible with the upcoming Windows Phone 8 that's due to be released sometime late this year, early next year. And within a couple days, that was retracted and said he meant the apps would be compatible with all the handsets, not the phones themselves. Because there's this back-and-forth story, although we don't have anything confirmed, that says Windows Phone 8 will not run on first-generation Windows phones. There's even a question mark of whether the second-generation phones, like the Nokia Lumia 900 or the HTC Titan 2, will be able to run that as well, because apparently there are different hardware requirements when it comes to Windows Phone 8 infrastructure. So, again, one of the big things here is people don't want their devices to lose the software support, and 4,700 people have voted that Windows Phone 8 should be on first-generation devices. That's great, and you know, but here's the reality. If Microsoft's not heading down that road, I don't think it makes any difference how many times you get on this site and vote that thing up. Ultimately, they are going to move forward with their plan. This site was really built to talk about true feature enhancements that people want for the Windows Phone, such as like this one right here, enabling Bluetooth transfer. Why shouldn't Bluetooth transfer be capable on a Windows Phone, on a smartphone, period? That would allow you to transfer contacts back and forth with other people. Cloud backup capability. Again, those are great suggestions for the platform. Multitasking, it comes up. alternative browsers, okay, we already know that there's some work going on there. Full sync, notification systems, scheduling text messages. But the Windows Phone feature suggestion page is at windowsphone.uservoice.com. And I'll put a link on the show page for that. But if you've got some serious suggestions about the phone and the way it works, then please take advantage of that website and give them some feedback. Let them know what you'd like to see, or if you see something that you don't necessarily like, let them know about that as well. Again, you know, those suggestions on there, 4,700 people that says, don't forget my phone when it comes to the new Windows Phone 8. Hey, you know what? That's two-year-old hardware now. And in order to make the experience right, I can't imagine that Microsoft would want to support old hardware to do that. It's kind of like when they released the standards to let some real entry-level, inexpensive hardware come into the Windows Phone ecosystem, and they've had to limit some of the features that are available on that in order to let those lower-powered phones work with the system. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with all that. There's still a lot to be seen. But if you're using the phone and you got ideas, go to that Windows Phone feature suggestion page. We talked about the guy who said it would all be compatible, but then came back and said, nah, I meant the apps. How about Amazon Web Services? You know, it was about a year ago that Amazon Web Services had a huge outage. And now here we are a year later, and they are now starting to rent software. Companies who have developed applications and services that run on the Amazon Web Services infrastructure now have a marketplace where they can offer trials, they can offer for sale, and you as a user, an end user, can go in there and sign up and use whichever ones you want to use. I'm trying out a couple of them right now for like site monitoring and analytics of a sort to tell uptime. And easy enough to sign up for. There's lots of trials available, and many of them are free, period. But interesting to see that Amazon Web Services is doing that kind of stuff. And speaking of Amazon Web Services, I've got another note here. Let me find it real quick in my line. Talking about the how many sites on the web. A third of all internet users visit a site that uses Amazon's infrastructure for some reason, whether it be as a kind of a content delivery network or some type of service that's being provided in the cloud. A third of all of us that are on the web are using Amazon's infrastructure from their web services to do those types of things. So, I mean, that's an amazing, that's 33%. That is a tremendous amount of infrastructure being used from Amazon by users of the internet. So you can see why a year ago an outage made such a big deal. And now, they're really getting out there, they're getting in front of it, and they're starting to make it a marketplace where people can sell and provide those services that they've developed onto the Amazon Web Services. You know, as well as Microsoft having a good quarter this past quarter, how about the PC market? Quarter one of this year, they reported an increase in PC sales. Let me find the number in the story. This is from IDC, and it released its quarterly figures for computer sales in the first part of this year, which would have been January, February, March. And it was quite surprising because shipments were up. 2.3%. The worldwide market of PC shipments improved by 2.3%. That meant that 87 million PCs were created in the first 3 months of the year than existed before, and up on 85 million in the same period from a year ago. So that was 2 million increase from a year before and 87 million more PCs in the first 3 months. So that includes the sales of Apple Macs, but not tablets of any OS or flavor. Apple was the third largest vendor in the U.S., although outside the top five worldwide. So amazing to see, you know, everybody talking about we're in the post-PC era and that PCs are dying. It's all about tablets and everything. But yet, look, we just shipped more PCs worldwide in the first quarter of this year than we did a year ago. So it does not look like, to me, the PC market is dying. Talk a little social media and Twitter and the attempts that people make to get things in front of you and to infect your system. Apparently, they have uncovered a huge spam campaign on Twitter that's pushing a fake antivirus, and they're using hundreds of fake Twitter accounts and tweeting just thousands and thousands of times to try to get people to click on that link. So if you're seeing those types of tweets and links, I don't click on links of people you don't trust, and make sure you're running proper software on your system so that you don't run into a possibility of being infected by that. How about this? Apple, you know, they brought their iCloud has been online since I think it was last year when it came out as part of Mountain Lion. And Mobile Me customers are being shut down. Mobile Me closes down at the end of June. And the way Apple is trying to entice Mobile Me users to move to iCloud is they are offering them free upgrades to Mountain Lion. So now normally upgrades to Apple software OS updates are not that expensive. I think it's about $30. But they are offering Mobile Me users a free upgrade DVD so they can get up to speed on Mountain Lion and then therefore move to iCloud because that is integrated into that operating system. So even Apple willing to give away software in order to get people to move on their services. You know, this past week there was also news of Dick Clark passing away. Everybody would knows him usually from Dick Clark's New Year's Rockin' Eve. He had a game show in the States in the 70s and 80s called Pyramid. And then, of course, he had American Bandstand, which profiled different musical artists and stuff like that and really crossed so many different barriers and opened up so many doors for people. He was 82 years old. He'd recently had a stroke a few years ago but was still appearing on New Year's Eve, working with Ryan Seacrest and the two of them kind of as a mentor-mentee relationship. And he died this past week of a heart attack. And so social media lit up with it and talked a lot about him and the things and impact that he had had. So, you know, rest in peace there, Dick Clark. I really enjoyed American Bandstand on Saturdays when I used to watch that. In the realm of a little bit of fun and a unique way to resign from your position, a Microsoft worker named Karen Chang did her resignation from Microsoft in a sing-along video. She did the video. It wasn't malicious. It was a fun video. She's been working on, apparently, Microsoft Excel for the last few years. And she put the words to the tune of Don McLean's American Pie, put it up on YouTube, and, of course, it's gotten a lot of attention all over the Internet. But, again, she's leaving under good terms. It was a very happy situation, obviously, for her. And it was just a unique way for her to say farewell to her coworkers and friends at Microsoft. The new Microsoft Translator app has been updated and released for Windows Phone. If you haven't checked out this app yet, you should, especially if you travel, because it allows you to take pictures of images in foreign languages, and it will translate those right there for you. I seem to remember something similar for Apple coming out for the iPad and iOS and iPhone and all that. Excuse me. But this one's for Windows Phone. You can take you can speak into it in a foreign language and it will translate it, or you can take a picture of a sign and it will overlay a translation of those words right there on your phone. So talk about something handy when you're traveling. Another, you know, this past week also Microsoft's DreamSpark program got a lot of attention. There were a lot of posts from Microsofties on MSDN and a couple of other tech websites talking about DreamSpark. And so I wanted to bring your attention to DreamSpark, and it's for students. And what it is it gives them developer and designer tools at no charge so that they can get into developing and creating things and maybe get a head start if that's a career they're wanting to do. Some of the software that is included: Visual Studio 11 Professional, Visual Studio 2010, Visual Studio 11, Microsoft Expression Studio, the Windows Phone and App Hub access, which is normally $99 a year, the Kinect for Windows Software Development Kit, the XNA Game Studio for writing Xbox Live Arcade and Xbox Live games, Microsoft Mathematics, Robotics Developer Studio, Multipoint Mouse Software Development. I mean, this list just goes on and on, as well as access to servers and applications, such as Windows Server 2008, SQL Server, Windows Virtual PC, and there's some Pluralsight on-demand training and certification available as well. It is that is $1,000 worth of software, thousands of dollars worth of software that are for free. All a student has to do is go sign up, put in their information, give the information about where they go to school so they can be validated, and then they will have access to all that type of software. And it really is, sorry, it really is an encouragement to students to get into that kind of work. And what better way to do it than to have free tools that you don't have to go out there and spend a fortune. So if you get them and it's not for you, you haven't spent a dime. But if you get them and it is your kind of thing and you excel at it, then you've got a tremendous head start into the infrastructure and having all the software you need to be able to do that development. So I highly encourage, if you are a student, that you go check out DreamSpark. We'll put that link up on the show page. How about, we talked about Google earlier and this whole analytics of your Gmail inbox. Well, did you hear about the Gmail outage this past week? I guess it was about, I'm not sure how long it lasted. But I tell you what, within seconds, Twitter fired up about it. And you guys know Twitter. You know Twitter does that kind of stuff when it comes to services and things. But, you know, Gmail took a pretty good hammering on it. But I think the service was out for just a couple hours, if that. But in this day and age of 99.9% uptime, that outage probably didn't affect that kind of uptime status. But in this very immediate world we live in of feedback and the ability for us to jump on something like Twitter or Facebook and gripe and complain, that stuff gets out there so fast now that you have to really be proactive when it comes to being the service provider to make sure that you mitigate the negatives that those kind of things can cause. Show people you're proactive. Show people you are involved in figuring out what's going on and trying to get the service back up. And talk to them. Don't just ignore it. Get on Twitter. Start talking, because I guarantee if there is a problem, people are going to Twitter to look. They want to look at your official account. They want to see if you're talking about it. Let me tell you, my own experience is that if I want to deal with a company, I go to Twitter first to see if they're there. Before I go to a website and go to a phone number, I go to Twitter first. I will try Twitter. I will try Facebook. And if you are a modern day company these days, and maybe if you're even not a tech company, you probably ought to have a presence in social media somehow and an active presence. Don't build a Twitter account and then let it sit idle for months and months and months and months. You know, you need to have an active program. You need to have a plan for continually communicating with your customers, whether it be in a two-way conversation to help them out with an issue or to communicate info out there to them. You have to be proactive in this day and age. Okay, and then the last thing, something to close out with. Everybody knows about clout and how they aggregate your activity on social media and different websites and come up with this clout score. And it's a level of your clout when it comes to your community. And they profile you and tell you whether or not you're kind of a leading edge or whether you're a broadcaster or whatever. And you get a numerical score. And there are some perks to that. You get access to some what they call perks. And it can give you early access to services and programs and things. But now there is a website out there that is taking the clout information and using it to kind of help you figure out who you might be compatible with on a date. So now dating services are coming via your clout score. So that'll be interesting to see whether or not that has any impact or not with people and things like that. Just something interesting. Let's talk a little bit about what happened this past week on WindowsObserver.com. We wrote yesterday about the white Nokia Lumia 900 hitting the stores early. Again, if it was bought before yesterday, that means even the white Nokia that wasn't originally due out until today, the individuals who purchased it should be getting the $100 credit on their AT&T bill for that purchase before 21 April. It was the end of the day yesterday that expired. Interesting tweets. You got to watch. There's two. I've told you before. Watch the Windows 8 Building Windows 8 blog, because you'll constantly get updates and stories about how they're coming up with the ideas behind Windows 8 and how they're developing it. But also watch their Twitter account, because a lot of times you will see a tweet about some piece of data or some piece of information, and there won't be a corresponding blog post. So if you're just watching one, you may not get everything. So keep an eye on the Twitter account, Building Windows 8. They tweeted out two interesting stats this past week. One is that at this point in the Windows 8 consumer preview, the usage has doubled what the Windows 7 beta was at the same point in its development cycle. So that's a tremendous interesting piece of information. It means a lot of people are using the consumer preview, just like they did with the Windows 7. And I think a lot of that is what made Windows 7 so successful, is they were getting that constant feedback, that telemetry coming in from all the systems. Because if you're running the consumer preview, you didn't have a choice. You had to be part of that feedback system to Microsoft. In the final version, you get to turn that on and off. But part of the deal in running the consumer preview early is that you allow them to see how you're using it and give feedback that way. The other stat they tweeted out a couple mornings ago, that Windows 8 apps in the consumer preview, Metro apps, have had 9 million runs. So that 9 million apps have been run on all the Windows 8 consumer preview systems out there since Windows 8 consumer preview came out the end of February, which means that's March and April. So, and we're about two-thirds through April, so you're about 7-week period, 9 million executions of Metro apps on Windows 8 consumer preview, which is just a mind-boggling number. Windows Phone App Flow, want to point out Travis's column this week. He talks about those programs that go that extra mile, that give you a little something extra, and he profiles a couple of games and apps that do give you more on the Windows Phone. The Windows Store. We wrote a pretty extensive post back in March about the Windows Store and some ideas we had to make it easier to use. And a lot of that was based on sorting and the means to be able to tell what apps have been updated, what are the most recent apps in the store. There was no real way to sort data like that. And I'm sure it's a plan that they had. But I got some great feedback from a member of the team. And just recently got pointed out to me that there's always been a new release tile on the main page of the Windows Store, but when you hit that, it always showed all the apps. So it did not specify the newest apps. Well, sometime in the last week or so, that tile has been tweaked on the server end, and now it only displays the latest apps. I don't know what the criteria is, as I wrote in the story. I don't know whether it's the last week, whether it's the last 2 weeks, whether it includes brand new apps, or whether it includes brand new apps and updated apps. But at least for now, you can press that new release tile and it will show you the most recent new programs. It doesn't show you all 98 that's currently in the Windows Store. So that's a nice little tweak to the features. It's Sunday of the weekend, but if you hadn't heard, Xbox 360 opened up the Xbox Live platform this weekend for everybody. So if you're on an Xbox and you don't have a gold subscription, you can try out the entertainment apps that don't require an extra subscription unless you are already subscribed to that service like HBO or one of the cable companies. I think it runs through tomorrow at noon, so there's still another day left that you could do this. But all the entertainment options, multiplayer gaming, are all available this weekend for free on the Xbox platform. So hopefully you took advantage of that. Posted a couple different posts this week about themes, and Jen Shear, a friend of mine on Twitter called Flying Jenny, who is a terrific photographer, gave me permission to use 10 of her photos that she took from Cocoa Beach of the shuttle carrier aircraft with Discovery on its back, doing a flyover of the Space Coast, and turn that into a Windows 7, Windows 8 theme, and a pack of wallpapers. So please go check that out so you can download those awesome photos of the flyover that happened down in Cocoa Beach this week when Discovery was leaving. Another huge announcement that was made by Microsoft this past week was they revealed the SKUs, which are the stock counting units for Windows 8. In other words, how many versions of Windows 8 there are going to be. And the official count is 3. There's going to be Windows 8. Now, these are both going to be in 32-bit and 64-bit. And this is the consumer choice. It'll have most of the features, updated Windows Explorer, Task Manager, better multi-monitor support, and the ability to switch languages on the fly. So you're going to have Windows 8, and then you're going to have Windows 8 Pro. And both, again, in 32 and 64-bit. And Windows 8 Pro, it bumps it up a little bit for tech enthusiasts, business, and tech professionals. There's a broader set of Windows 8 technologies included. It features all the features I mentioned about Windows 8, plus encryption, virtualization, PC management, and domain connectivity. And then, of course, there is the Windows RT or the Windows on ARM. That's going to be the tablets that are built on ARM chips or system on chips, and that will be the third version. And, of course, there will be the enterprise version of Windows 8 that is specifically for not sold. It's not sold commercially. It's sold to companies on a bulk license type of setup for them to use on their systems. So it's interesting to hear that we're not going to have, 14 different versions of Windows 8 when Windows 8 releases later this year. So it's really been simplified. No more Ultimate. So you get Windows 8, the entry-level kind of version, very functional though, Windows 8 Pro, and then of course the Windows RT and the Enterprise versions. So some good news in the area of Windows 8 this past week. Some nice stats to hear that about the Windows 8 consumer preview and the usage that's going on. It's nice to see that The system is getting used, and the amount that it's getting used, I really do think we are going to see. I have no information at all to base this on, but I really do think we are going to see the Windows 8 release candidate or release preview maybe June timeframe, because, like I said, they've already started to close off entry into the Windows 8, the Windows Store. It's not the Windows 8 Store. It's the Windows Store. They've started to restrict that, and they're looking for people to be ready for the next level. They've opened that up to a lot of new markets, so hopefully more developers will get involved. So I think we're going to see that sometime this summer easily, maybe in the next 2 months, month and a half. And it's going to be dynamic. It's going to be interesting to see the feedback that they've gotten, which they've gotten a tremendous amount of feedback, both via telemetry from the operating systems as well as, you know, feedback on their blogs and other methods. It'll be interesting to see where things go. In my past experience, when it comes to Windows and Windows development, the jump between the beta and the release candidate, not a whole lot of new feature-wise, but they start tweaking and streamlining the operating system. And it'll be interesting to see how that all goes and if they make any major changes for the navigation and things like that between Windows 8 Desktop and Windows 8 Start Screen or the Metro style of looking at the system. So we'll keep our eyes peeled for all of that. We'll keep our ears open for any news that's coming. And, of course, we'll bring it to you via WindowsObserver.com and, of course, via the Observe Tech Podcast. Next week, episode 50, a milestone. We're going to do a special segment on how I produce this podcast, what gear I use, what tools I use to put it together, and I'm going to kind of walk you through how I put together this podcast, and we'll talk about the news of the day and what's going on in the world of tech. So until next week, I want everybody to stay safe out there, and please make sure you're keeping your software up to date. Take care. See you next week.